Quaker Meeting in Portland, Oregon.
You can find more information about our community at westhillsfriends.org.
As a Quaker community, we encourage everyone to share from their hearts,
especially as it pertains to God's leading in their lives.
These words are shared into a community that values the opportunity to respond and dialogue about what is said.
The responses and dialogue are not included in this recording.
The views expressed in this content are solely those of the original contributor
and do not necessarily speak for the entire West Hills Friends community.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Good morning. I am Stephen Deathridge, and this is the 17th year that Kayleen and I have been coming to West Hill Friends. And during that same 17 years, Kayleen and I have made personal retreats to Catholic monasteries in Oregon. So there's Mount Angel Abbey, which I would recommend, and the Trappist Abbey, Our Lady of Guadalupe by Lafayette. And during one of our retreats at the Trappist Abbey, I was sitting in the back looking up at the cross in front, and they have a particularly tortured Jesus on their cross. And this came to me, this message, and I gave part of this a few years ago, actually 7 years ago. But I don't know, it seems like the exact right message for Palm Sunday, which, as we have talked about, both Mark and you just talked about, Christ sort of upset the apple cart on Palm Sunday. So, all right, here we go. Today's scripture reading comes from the first book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, saw that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Matthew chapter 27. Now from the sixth hour on the day of Christ's crucifixion, there was a darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you turned your back to me?" Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil in the temple, the veil that separated the people from God, was torn in two, and the earth quaked, and cracks formed all over the land. And finally, this is not a scripture reading, but it is from my favorite Canadian poet and mystic, Leonard Cohen. He says, "The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in." Today is Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and was greeted by enthusiastic crowds who scattered palm branches before him. Kayleen said that I should have brought palm branches for everyone, like a Catholic. But I was like, no, if I do that, you all will just be turning him into crosses and not paying attention. So, like we always do when we go to Mass. Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week, which reaches its crescendo on Good Friday, the day that Christ was crucified. Crucifixion was not invented by the Romans, but they used it to terrible effect. Criminals and enemies of the state were two classes of people who were subjected to this painful, humiliating, slow, and disgraceful death. Steal a horse or escape from your master? Crucified. Worse yet was to oppose the Roman state. Enemies of Rome had to be shown the power of the state, and their deaths were used as a spectacle to warn others about what could happen to them if they stepped out of line. If you resisted the Roman military, you were crucified. If you attacked Roman troops, you and your family were crucified. If you plotted to overthrow the local Roman government, you and your entire household, slaves, everybody, crucified. Crucifixion was cruel, and it was effective. You think you can oppose Rome? Wrong. We will take you to a public place, nail you to a cross, and make you a spectacle for others to see and mock. By doing this, we will not only slowly torture you to death. Often it took days for a person to perish from exposure, dehydration, or lack of breath. But your death will serve as a warning to others to never resist Rome. The message of the Roman cross was this: we can do this to you. And if you oppose our power, you will suffer a horrifying death. On the 24th day of the third month of the Roman calendar, a month named after Mars, the Roman god of war, and what would later be known as the year 10 AD, Caesar Augustus was walking down the Via Musicum in Rome with his chief of staff, Gluteus Maximus, who Caesar affectionately called Max. As they passed by an alleyway, Caesar and Max noticed a strange portal that had never been there before. Further investigation revealed that the portal displaced the time and space continuum. Caesar intuitively knew this, of course. I mean, he's Caesar. Caesar told Max,
"Max, let us step through this portal and see where it takes us."
Max said, "Okay, boss." So into the portal they stepped, and they found themselves in Portland, Oregon, in the year 2024, on the 24th day of the third month of what was still the Roman calendar. The people in this strange land spoke a language that was unlike any that Caesar and Max had heard. And they were astonished by the tall buildings and loud machines that filled their senses. Most astonishing, however, was what they beheld on the south park blocks. Affixed to a stately building was a cross on which a painted sculpture of a man had been nailed.
"Max," said Caesar, "we must investigate this strange artwork."
Caesar was clearly impressed.
"It appears that these people have found new and even better ways to motivate their subjects and warn enemies of the state. In addition to crucifixions that undoubtedly are carried out elsewhere, they also scatter crucifixion artwork throughout the cities to warn their citizens. Simply brilliant."
Max said, "Yes, boss." So Caesar and Max entered the building with the cross, where they encountered more crucifixion artwork, as well as simple crosses hung on the walls. They also met the caretaker, Charlie, who had learned Latin at Mount Angel Abbey.
"Servus salve,"
said Caesar.
"Crux mihi de hoc arte."
"Cutere perfectus," said Charlie.
Utique facere,"
said Caesar.
"Sublatus sum Romae in palatio. Qui non il educium, Max?"
"Et bulla," said Max. So everyone can understand what I'm saying, and so I can end my terrible butchering of Latin, I will now turn on the universal translator.
Greetings, servant, said Caesar. Tell me about this crucifixion art.
You speak Latin perfectly, said Charlie.
Of course I do, said Caesar. I was raised in the royal palace in Rome, wasn't I, Max?
Yes, boss, said Max. Well, said Charlie, if you're interested in buying a crucifix or a cross, I can take you to the gift shop in the basement. They went to the gift shop, which had a generous selection of crosses on necklace chains, earring crosses, little cross nose studs, onesies with cross patterns on them, crucifixes for walls, desks, and dashboards, little napkins with crosses printed on them, and for the children, cross-shaped lollipops.
Holy Jupiter!
Caesar exclaimed, again, clearly impressed.
These people are truly depraved.
Yes, boss, said Max. Caesar asked Charlie,
why are your people forced to wear a symbol of Rome's power, which warns that if you oppose the state, you will suffer a horrifying death?
Charlie replied, for believers in the risen Christ, the cross and Christ's crucifixion on it was the crown through which God's forgiveness and life entered all the world. The cross gave way to life and direct communion with God. Because of the cross, all people have access to the presence of God. Caesar and Max looked skeptical. Charlie continued, the message of the Christian cross is this: God's awesome love transformed what was a symbol of disgraceful death into a symbol of amazing grace. Charlie then added a bit of wisdom from his favorite Sufi poet and mystic, Jalal al-Din Rumi. To God, everything is soaked in glory. To us, things look inert. To God, the hill is in motion like a river. He hears a subtle conversation between a dirt clod and a brick. We don't. There is no difference in awareness more extreme than between his and ours. We see all tombs the same, whereas he sees one as a garden and one an ugly hole. I'll close with some queries. Leonard Cohen said, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Life is filled with complications, challenges, and adversity. If looked at from one point of view, these can be a source of great fear and suffering. But if you look at it from another point of view, you may see that they give you opportunities for new growth. Where in your life are the cracks that give you new opportunities for change? Where are the cracks that let the light get in? And how are you sharing that light?
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We're really happy that so many of you are finding it to be helpful and as a way to stay connected with what's going on with us here at West Hills Friends. If you'd like to stay connected with us in other ways, we have a couple options for you. You can check out our website. It's westhillsfriends.org. There you'll find some more information about who we are as a community. You can also follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook account by just searching for West Hills Friends. You can also follow us on Instagram. We have a Instagram account with the name West Hills Friends. So we hope that you'll get connected with us in other ways. And again, thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast.